So my name is Adam Kutz. I have been teaching meditation for 21 years. Practiced daily mindfulness meditation formally for 32 years and lived for 4 years in monasteries in America and Asia. I appreciate your attendance. I really love leading sessions like this. So, you know, for me to be able to do that, people need to show up. So thank you for that. So to get started on the content for today's course, insomnia, as I assume you know, is a huge problem for many people. If you suffer from insomnia, you're definitely not alone. Many people do. It's not a private, shameful secret. It's a very common thing in modern America. Research shows that 40% of Americans sleep fewer than 7 hours a night on average, and about a third of Americans sleep an average of less than 6 hours a night, according to the CDC. And there's a Consumer Reports survey that said about 70% of American population have some sort of sleep difficulties at least once a week. And according to the American Sleep Association, insomnia is the most common sleep disorder. 30 to 50% of people report difficulty falling asleep and staying asleep at least a few times per month. And 6 to 10% of Americans experience chronic insomnia on a near nightly basis. So, of course, there's an entire industry around sleep aids. In 2019, it was estimated at about $75 billion. And there's definitely many people in America with troubling addictions to sleep aids. So the bottom line is that it's common and widespread. And I assume you're here because you have your own challenges with sleep. But so I probably don't need to tell you that lack of sleep can lead to mental and physical health problems. So, of course, increased risk of developing heart disease and diabetes and Alzheimer's and many others, impairment with memory and intelligence and problem solving, accuracy and competence of work, attention, reaction time. So that's one thing. Of course, there's worse moods and being irritable and self-critical and just less enthusiasm and energy. You know, the Exxon Valdez, the Chernobyl, the Bhopal, all those industrial disasters happened when the executive in charge was underslept. And it, of course, makes addictive habits more likely. It's harder to make healthy choices. My fiance often tells me I look better when I've gotten more sleep. I have more of a shine to my face when I don't have bags under my eyes. So, of course, there's our physical appearance. And I often find that when I'm underslept, it's just physically painful. So sleep is as critical to our well-being as food, water, or shelter, and good sleep is a foundation for our body and brain functioning properly. A good mental or physical health can be essential for a happier frame of mind. Increased and better sleep correlates, science has found, with lower levels of stress, improved mental clarity and memory, benefits to immune system, better heart health, and a general sense of well-being, happiness, ease, and more energy. I'm going to guess that many of you are like, yep, I'm already sold on the idea that getting more sleep is a good idea. So how can meditation help? Well, I think when it specifically comes to insomnia, whether a person has insomnia trying to fall asleep first thing at night or waking up in the middle of the night and having a hard time going back to sleep, I think it's helpful to examine what causes insomnia. And sometimes insomnia comes from biological issues, sleep apnea or physical pain or just brain chemistry. But I think it more often comes from, and the thing that we can do something about without medical intervention, is more stress and worry and anxiety and tension. And insomnia, of course, reciprocally creates those things as well. When we can't fall asleep because we're anxious, we often get more anxious. So sometimes when we put our heads on our pillows, it appears as if our mind suddenly goes into overdrive. I think one sort of meditative theory is that that worry and that agitation was probably there all along. We were just distracted from it as we went through our busy days. So I think insomnia and shallow, restless sleep and waking up and being unable to fall back asleep is often rooted in an overactive, racing mind, wearing away, overthinking, being caught in spinning, agitated, stressful thoughts. You know, even if we do fall asleep, that level of too much energy can wake us back up. ruminating over what happened and what's been said and what could have been said and all we have to do tomorrow. You know, the mind becomes both tired and overactive simultaneously. I think, our stress reactions were designed to deal with a tiger or a bear, but I think sometimes emotional, social, and mental senses of danger can have the same effects on us as if there is a dangerous animal. And then we are overadrenalized and can't sleep. So worry or insomnia. I think if the mind repeats, I can't sleep, I can't sleep, I can't sleep, you know, it leads to this fear that we're going to be tired tomorrow. I need to get a good night's sleep or I'm going to let people down. I won't be able to perform. People will judge me. If I was a good person, I'd be sleeping right now. A shame that there's something wrong with us for having insomnia, a feeling of lack of control and despair. And of course, the more we strive to push ourselves to fall asleep, the more anxious we get, and that creates more tension and straining. I think one thing that people sometimes say to me when I tell them that I teach meditation is, I can't meditate. And I say, why? And one thing people often say then is, I can't calm my mind. I can't get rid of thoughts. That's something I've heard from many people. And you know, there's certain meditations where we're trying to chill out our thoughts. For example, the classic meditation of concentrating our awareness on the breath. But in those cases, we're not trying to actually like get rid of thoughts. We're just letting them kind of coast to a stop on their own. We're just letting them be in the background. We're not chasing after them. We're choosing to pay attention to the breath. But it's not a struggle. And then there's plenty of meditations where thoughts are allowed. For example, meditating on thoughts or meditating on your moment-by-moment experience, is it pleasant or unpleasant? Classic meditation technique. And that technique, it's perfectly fine to think. But there's many people, when they meditate, they try and get rid of thoughts. So, you know, something I've seen often in the meditation teaching world is the metaphor. That's like getting a snow globe, you know, one of those mementos you get, you know, I don't know, in Canada or something. And, you know, you shake it up and the little flakes swirl around in the water. If you had one of those and you were trying to get the flakes to settle down, you know, what would you do? Open up the top of the snow globe and push each flake down? Well, that would be endless, right? The more you push them down, the more it stirs up other ones. So that's kind of like trying to get rid of thoughts in meditation. And I think trying to force ourselves to fall asleep is the same thing. The more we force some sort of relaxation, that same force stirs up other agitation. So it can be caught in a loop of thinking and worry, and our heart rate gets up and mind can't relax. And cortisol levels rise, overly aroused sympathetic nervous system, disrupts our circadian rhythm, lowers melatonin, the hormone that signals it's time to fall asleep. And that's when the loop starts, and that's a painful circumstance, of course, to be in. Our modern life is so complicated with endless to-do lists and unsolvable life problems that many of us seem to face. And there's all these normal reasons for stress, plus the pandemic and living in a politically divided country. Studies have found in the last couple of years, many of us have really elevated levels of stress. So how can meditation help? Well, luckily, this kind of stuff is precisely one of the life issues that meditation can help with. Meditation can be a perfect natural sleep aid, a way of overcoming our sleep struggles and facilitate our ability to rest. That's natural, effective, free, and addiction-free. The National Sleep Foundation recommends meditation, and they say meditation makes it easier to fall and stay asleep and has been shown to increase sleep time and improve sleep quality. They say, and they're sleep experts, not meditation experts or meditation boosters, but they say meditation is safe, free from risks or side effects, can easily be used with other sleep techniques, has multiple health benefits, is all natural and medication free, and is accessible and budget friendly. And research has found that this is true, that meditation actually does help with people's insomnia. So I'm checking the questions here. What about napping? Would napping count towards sleep time? Yeah, I think napping, you know, when I nap, I know I feel refreshed. I think in general, research has found, maybe some of you have read this book, Why We Sleep. It's sort of the science book of the year a couple years ago. A lot of people seem to be reading it all at once. And when I read that book, it seemed to say, whatever brain damage not getting enough sleep at night causes, napping doesn't really catch it up, even though it feels like it does. I think that's what that book said. But of course, I don't know. If you're underslept, I would say napping is better than not napping. Certainly, empirically, in my experience, when I nap, I feel better. If I'm underslept, I feel refreshed. I feel like my brain is back online. The first technique that we're going to do today, we'll start with our first technique, is elongated breathing. Now, during the rest of today's class, I'm really going to emphasize that the ideal technique for insomnia is different than the ideal technique we would do when meditating at other times during the day. Now, breathing is the most common meditation on the world, focusing your mind on your breathing. But this is a slightly different technique. If we were to practice mindfulness of breathing, one of the techniques I regularly lead and the most common meditation technique in the world, you bring your attention to simple natural breathing. And if the breathing is jagged and shallow, if you're controlling it, however the breath is, you just let that be and you just pay attention to it as it is. If you're actually trying to do breathing meditation to fall asleep, though, you want to intentionally slow the breath down. You want to do deep, slow, methodical breaths and slowing down between breaths. Again, mindfulness of breathing, if you're to do it first thing in the morning when you wake up, you're doing your best not to control the breath in any way, just noticing it however it is. Whereas if you want to do it last thing at night to help with insomnia, you do want to control it. You want to slow it way down. You know, just as rapid cyclical breathing can make us hyper, and over aroused, slowing down the breathing, of course, can calm us down. It slows down the rhythm of our heart. It relaxes the body and the mind. The classic thing, if someone's freaking out, what do you say to them? Take a deep breath. It's a natural tranquilizer that calms the nervous system and helps ease us into sleep. Of course, elongated breathing can also be helpful if we're anxious or panicky or overwhelmed. I think in general, if you're going to elongate the breath for breathing, you want an exhalation that's twice as long as inhalation. And sometimes you need to shorten the inhalation to make that work. Some people recommend having a long hold between the inhalation and the exhalation before, and then another long hold before the next breath. So I think that's optional. I think it works fine either way. Maybe some of you have heard of this 4-7-8 breathing, where you breathe in for a count of four, you hold for a count of seven, and then you release for a count of eight. It's kind of one of these popular insomnia aids. I find seven is too long. I start getting a little panicky holding the in-breath for that long, and I've heard that from other people too. It's really actually not relaxing. So I think the idea of four a count of four for in-breath and a count of eight for the out-breath works well, but a hold of seven is too long. I recommend doing this technique to keep your mouth closed and keep your lips together as you inhale, and inhale through your nose, but then open your mouth, and you can optionally make a whooshing sound as you exhale. Some people use a repeated phrase. They might say calm or relax or peace or letting go on the exhalation. So that's up to you. You know, you could go peace, something like that. If there's a word or a phrase that really helps you to feel more chilled out, then that's helpful. Today I recommend doing this technique seated upright. But if you do it on your own before falling asleep, you might want to do it lying down or sitting up, whichever works for you. And if you're someone who has asthma or COPD or other respiratory challenges or has panic attacks that are triggered by shallow breathing, you might want to use caution with this or maybe sit it out, if your breath is a source of stress or difficulty. Okay, I got a question. Are your thoughts centered around the breathing? My mind wanders. I think when a person does breath meditation, whether it's sort of natural breathing for a mindfulness technique or elongated breathing for what we're doing today, I think the instruction is to try to feel the breath, not really have thoughts. If you can really absorb your attention into the physicality of the breath, that kind of takes all the real estate in your consciousness, and there isn't really a whole lot of time or to think thoughts. I think if thoughts do arise, which they almost inevitably do for all people when you're trying to bring your attention to your breath, the instruction with breath meditation, again, whether for mindfulness purposes or falling asleep purposes, is don't chase after the thoughts, just let them drop into the background. And some days you're going to have a lot of busy thoughts. You know, it just can't be helped. That's how being human sometimes is. And just accept that as best you can and bring your attention to your breath as best you can. You know, there's no fighting it. I suppose you could, you know, drink a few glasses of wine or take a sedative to get rid of a racing mind. But, you know, when it comes to just sort of some sort of holistic or naturalistic thing, I think the more we bring our attention to the breath, for example, or something else that we're trying to pay attention to that's not the thoughts will drop off inevitably. But, it's not a quick fix. It's a deep and thorough fix, but not a quick fix. Okay. Getting another couple questions here. Someone is sharing. Okay, Matt, thank you for the suggestions. My part two next week will be general sleep suggestions. So just skimming your contribution here. No, I appreciate the contribution. Some of those stuff is stuff that I will cover next week. And I'll look over your post for that. Chantal asks, how long should you practice controlled breathing before getting out of bed if sleep isn't coming? Well, that's something I'll talk about later today's session, ideally. I think that's a personal choice. I think in general, I think the most healthy thing to do is if as soon as you notice you can't sleep, get out of bed. Don't start associating staying in bed with tossing and turning and worrying. I don't do that. I think it's a really tall order to do that. But the times I have done that, it's felt healthy, and that's what sleep experts recommend. Again, as soon as you notice you have insomnia, don't stay in bed. And if you want to meditate, the strongest recommendation is go to a different room and sort of turn on a soft light and meditate. And then as soon as you start getting drowsy, then get back in bed. That's one way to do it. Another way to do it is to lie down. You don't have to sit upright with a light on. You can lie down, say, on a couch or something. And then as soon as you start actually feeling drowsy, then get back into bed. I'll talk a little bit about these choices later in the class today. But I think in general, I would not recommend lying in bed for too long once you realize you have insomnia. Yeah. Adrian says, if I can't sleep, as soon as I turn on the light and get up, I feel exhausted again, light off again, back to wide awake. Super annoying. Not sure what to do about that. Yeah, I understand. I think there's probably a lot of psychology behind that. You know, I think there's a lot that could be said about the mind being tricky that way. I think within the scope of this class, the best I could say is if you do turn on a soft light and sit upright or, you know, be somewhere that's not your bed and you do these meditations, you will eventually get sleepy in a way that I think once you do crawl into bed with the lights out, it will knock you out. I do believe that that is the case. All right, so we're going to do a little bit of this elongated breathing. So I invite you to take an upright meditative posture, sitting as lifting up with the crown of your head as tall as you can, having an extended spine. I recommend don't lean back against your chair, but see if you can find a point of balance where you're not slumped over, but you're not pushing your chest forward, and you're not leaning forward, you're not leaning back. And when you really find that point of balance, then your backbone can be like a strong tree, and you can just let your the soft parts of your body, your muscles and your ligaments, hang limp and loose and relaxed. So finding that point of balance, and we will start. So let's start with taking a deep, intentionally deep inhalation, and then releasing Again, breathing through the mouth. Letting the belly fully relax, letting the lungs fully exhale. Then another deep breath in. Completely filling the lungs like they're balloons that you're filling as full as they can. Hold. And then a long, slow, relaxing exhalation and feeling your face relax, feeling your shoulders drop, feeling your arms go limp and loose, softening your belly, feeling all the soft parts of your body let go and release as you let go. Another deep breath in. Hold. Then a long, relaxing exhalation, feeling all tension and tightness draining out of you, just like water draining down a bathtub when you pull the stopper. And completely letting go at the bottom of the exhalation. And I invite you to do some more elongated breathing at your own pace. Resting your attention on your breathing lightly and easily and gently. If you lose connection, simply starting again, letting the whole thing happen with ease. You can be aware of the breath wherever you would like, in the lungs, in the belly, in your nose, wherever helps you to relax, to let go, and to soften. Breathing in peacefulness. Breathing out, letting go and relaxing. Remembering to have a long hold between the inhalation and the exhalation. Exhaling twice as long as the inhalation. And then having a long rest before the next breath. You can take as long a break between breaths as feels right to you. Feeling a sense of tranquility, of serenity, of calm. With each out breath, letting go of any feeling of tension or tightness. Simply deeply letting go, releasing and relaxing. With each exhalation, softening your jaw, dropping your shoulders, feeling your belly relax, as if you had a handful of sand and you opened your hand and the sand just flowed out, or as if you pulled the stopper out of a bathtub and the water just drained down the drain pipe, just feeling your body relax and let go. maintaining an easy, relaxed focus on the smooth rhythm of each deep breath. Again, as thoughts arise, other distractions, just letting them drop into the background. You don't have to get rid of them, but just don't chase them. Making the choice to rest our attention inside of our deeply relaxing, elongated breath. If your eyes are closed, slowly opening them. And great job, everyone. So that's elongated breathing. It's near the top of my to-do list to record a longer version of that and post it to the Insight Timer app. So that's something I may do soon. And hopefully that could be a resource that I can send out to people when I do that. Okay, so I want to talk a bit about how meditation can helping us to get better sleep. And I think there's two ways of looking at how meditation can help with better sleep. I think sometimes when people are new to meditation, they think meditation is one thing, and it has one benefit, or one set of benefits. But I think if a person is new to meditation, one great way to understand how meditation works is to think of it as similar to physical exercise. Now, we all know there's many different types of physical exercise, and they have different benefits. If you want flexibility, you do one exercise. If you want cardio, you do a different. If you want strength. Similarly, there's many different forms of meditation, and they can have many different mental health benefits. So I think there's different techniques that are appropriate different times of the day, for example. Mostly I teach and lead mindfulness meditation, where what we try and be aware of the breath, body sensations, thoughts, sounds, anything else exactly as it is without trying to change it. I think those are techniques that are great to do first thing in the morning or the afternoon, and they can create long-term mental health benefits, openness and ease in an untangled mind and general mental health. But one way that those techniques work is they bring to mind inner surfaces that are inside the subconscious as a way of resolving them. That process in the long term makes us more of an untangled and relaxed person. In the short term, though, it can make us a little more agitated. It's, when I lived in monasteries and was meditating 10 hours a day, we used to call meditation mental surgery without anesthetic. I don't think meditating 20 minutes in the workplace is really that industrial strength as we were doing in the monastery. On the other hand, I think the point remains, with meditation, sometimes when you're looking for a long-term resolution and clarification of whatever emotional, psychological, and spiritual issues we have, sometimes things get worse before they get better. You're on a hill and you want to get to a tall mountain, you have to walk through a dark valley to get there. So many meditation techniques that are going to make you a person that's more able to fall asleep in the long term, maybe in the short term won't. So I think there are techniques, the four techniques I'm presenting this webinar, two today and then two next week, they're more ideal for when you want to fall asleep immediately. They're not as powerful for long-term positive transformation of mind, but they're more useful if you want to wind down and fall asleep soon. So, one way of looking at it is, again, by analogy to physical exercise. People say if you regularly do physical exercise, you'll have less insomnia. That's true. That doesn't mean if you have insomnia, you should get up and go for a run and that'll put you to sleep. It's a long-term fix, to do other times during the day. It's not something that's going to immediately solve your problem. Another metaphor of that is, let's say you're a person who's setting a goal to learn to be a better cook, to cook delicious, exciting, and varied meals. Now, one way you could work on that is to experiment, try some new recipes, watch some videos, take some classes, create some new menus on your own. And that's great. doing that will make you a better cook a year from now. But let's say you have some friends coming over tonight and you want a reliably delicious meal, you know, an hour from now, because that's when your friends are coming. You probably don't want to experiment with something new because it may or may not, you know, make you create a delicious meal. You want to stick with a favorite, something that you know will turn out good. You want short-term results. You're not looking for, something that will make you a better cook a year from now. So the techniques I'm teaching in this course, they're more the instant results. They're more like, hey, I want to relax because I want to fall asleep now. And more of the techniques I lead in my Monday and Wednesday sessions are more techniques that are like experimenting with cooking. They will make you a more relaxed and calm and easy to fall asleep person, you know, a year from now, 5 years from now. I see three different ways meditation can help with three different goals when it comes to meditation. I mean, when it comes to better sleep. You can meditate in the morning or another time earlier in the day, and that will make you a more mentally clear and untangled person who will be more likely to fall asleep easily and naturally at night and have a restful night of sleep. So that's one goal. I want to, a year from now, be a more calm person who has more easeful and restful sleep. Therefore, first thing in the morning, I'm going to watch my thoughts. I'm going to feel my body. I'm going to notice my breath, however it is. I'm just going to be mindful of things exactly the way they are. Another way is to sit upright at night with the light on, trying to relax enough to fall asleep, and then you'll turn off the light and crawl into bed. So you might set a timer and say, I'm going to meditate for 10 minutes, and even if I get sleepy, I'm going to sit the whole 10 minutes. But this is my meditation last thing at night, and what I want is relaxation and sleepiness. I don't want to face, you know, childhood trauma or the upset that I had from last night. You know, I don't want to, like, fully experience it in a way that has me kind of like move through it. That's kind of work I'll do first thing in the morning. Right now, I just reliably want to fall asleep. And then the last way meditation can help is I'm actually lying down with the lights out. I want to fall asleep now. You know, I'm not setting a timer that I'm going to meditate for 15 minutes. As soon as my eyes get heavy, I'm falling asleep. So those are three different ways to think about how meditation can help with insomnia. And there's three different, strategies for it, or sets of techniques that we would employ. So the first thing is, you know, as I said, meditating first thing in the morning. So that's the most common time that people meditate. It's a long-term path for insomnia. It's deep, sustainable change and thorough transformation. If you meditate, you know, in the morning and you do it kind of regularly and you do a helpful mindfulness technique, you will cultivate an integrated, quiet, and restful mind that will help you sleep better with ease. And I would say with most mindfulness techniques that we do, it's not a question of trying to do something about our sleep. It's just that better sleep comes with the rest of the positive mental health benefits. And research has found that people that meditate in the morning and other times earlier in the day do have better quality sleep at night. Many of the skills and the reasons why mindfulness meditation is helpful for a person are the same skills that are helpful for getting a good night of sleep. You know, many of us know about meditative calm, right? That's in the popular imagination. If you've never meditated, most people think of like, well, what does meditation do? It helps us to calm down. So I think classic mindfulness meditation, the kind we would do in the morning or in the afternoon or any time of day, it will help us relax and calm and quiet and find ease and rest in the mind and body. It will help us to unwind and tangle. It will help us to soothe our physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual bodies. It will help us to calm our mind, the kind of mind that we want when we want to wind down and drift off. Research has found that when people meditate, it reduces heart rate, it cultivates slower and deeper breathing, it decreases blood pressure, it reduces nervous system hyperarousal, it increases serotonin, the feeling of well-being that's the precursor of melatonin. It activates the part of the brain that controls sleep. It increases brainwaves that facilitate deep relaxation in sleep, alpha, delta, and theta brainwaves. So those are exactly the kind of changes we want to be able to sleep, right? That sounds good. The famous teacher Jon Kabat-Zinn, who kind of founded the American secular mindfulness movement, He said the seven pillars of mindfulness practice are non-judging, patience, trust, non-striving, acceptance, letting go, and beginner's mind. So, you know, the first six of those are all things that would help us to fall asleep, right? Letting go, acceptance, non-striving, those all sound pretty great. You know, if we had some of those, patience, that would help us to drift off to sleep. You know, one thing I often talk about in when I teach meditation is thinking of the mind as a huge blue sky with little clouds in it. And our thoughts and our worries and our projects are all like little clouds, right? That seems like a great way to feel more restful and fall asleep at night, you know, to be that big sky that holds it all and never gets compressed, never worries, never gets tense. However, when it does come to classic mindfulness meditation, it's not just a question of relaxation. I think generally when we meditate, we relax, but we don't fall asleep. Something I wrote in a blog post a while ago is, it is inaccurate to think of mindfulness meditation as only a state of deep relaxation, as spacing out and tuning out, and as being roughly the same thing as sleep, although many people unfamiliar with mindfulness meditation do so. In sleep, we are in a relaxed state that is less conscious than our normal mind state. But in meditation, we're working towards being in a relaxed state that is more conscious. The brainwaves of deep meditation are actually those of deep, restful, peaceful, and relaxed sleep, and also simultaneously those of energized, full alertness, as if we were focused and motivated while working on a project while under deadline. This combination is something new, unfamiliar, and perhaps paradoxical to most of us, which is one reason why it takes years to understand, cultivate, and explore and develop it. So, you know, some of you are probably familiar with the yin-yang symbol. You know, that's something meditators often sort of will orient towards or find some wisdom in. And the yin-yang is a mixture of effort and non-effort, doing and non-doing, alertness and relaxation. So that's what we're aiming for in classic mindfulness meditation. You know, we have that upright spine that's alert, and the muscles of our body are relaxed. It's a combination of the two. It's not just one or the other. So, because it's not just about relaxation, it also involves facing a lot of difficulties. And like I said, sometimes you're on a hill, you want to get up to the top of the mountain, you have to go through a dark valley. I think with many meditation techniques, things do get worse before they get better for many people. They will help us improve our mental health in the long term, and that will help us be a better sleeper a year from now or 5 years from now. But they can actually be stimulating and keep us awake in the short term. They're not designed to put you to sleep in the morning, in the moment. Many mindfulness techniques are designed to change you into the kind of person who has healthy sleep in the long term. The inner work of mindfulness meditation, it positively transforms us, but it's not always easy or soothing. You know, you look at a washing machine, the water gets dirty before the clothes get clean. I actually have many metaphors I can use about this, but I think you get the general idea. I like to say that mindfulness meditation helps us to be ourselves, except more so. And being ourselves is sometimes an easy, calm thing, and sometimes it's agitating. And sometimes when we become more ourselves, we face things that we've been avoiding, you know, from last week or from our childhood or from whenever, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. And that can sometimes be disturbing, difficult, and agitating. In the long term, it makes us a calm and open person that is less tangled up and has fewer worries. But in the short term, again, it can create an episode of anxious insomnia. So that's one form of meditation. Again, first thing in the morning. Now, I talked about there's a different strategy, right? There's number two. I want to meditate last thing at night, and I want to fall asleep soon. So meditating last thing at night is the second most common time that people meditate after first thing in the morning. And I think people often choose to meditate last thing at night to create a buffer between their waking life and their bedtime. It helps us to de-stress before falling asleep at night. It paves the way for a good night's sleep. It gets us into our body and our mind into safe shutdown mode. I think meditating last thing before sleep can create the inner conditions for a truly restful night. both in terms of quality and quantity of sleep. I think studies have found that meditating last thing at night correlates with deeper and more restful sleep. Meditating last thing at night can let all those little flakes in the snow globe come swirling down to a rest. So there are techniques that are good to do last thing at night to help you fall asleep, and that reliably will give you the good meal, that will not put you into the dark valley, but will actually kind of get you immediate relaxation. So I think if you want to use meditation last thing at night to fall asleep, it's a question of picking the right techniques and approaching them with a proper understanding. And that's what I'm trying to do in this webinar. I think you want to pick techniques that less involve mindfulness and inner exploration and more ones that involve relaxation and self-soothing. More relaxation and self-soothing rather than alertness and inner work. It's also helpful really not to have any expectations or goals during the meditation. You know, that's important for all meditations, but especially for meditating last things at night. To not try and force relaxation, but just let it arrive on its own time. I think if you're an experienced meditator, you can do mindfulness, the kind of thing people do first thing in the morning, last thing at night, and it will be calming. But I think for most beginners, that's, you know, I don't recommend that. I recommend picking a technique that more emphasizes relaxation. So, let me check the chat. Okay, some people lost audio for a second. Some of my teachers have recommended, kind of in strong terms, not to mix up sleep and meditation. They say, don't mix up meditation time and sleep. Do not ever sleep in the meditation. You know, I've lived in monasteries, and we heard again and again, do not sleep in the meditation hall. If you really are super falling asleep, you know, leave the meditation hall. If you're going to sit cross-legged on the cushion, you know, during a meditation period, always, again and again, be as alert and upright as possible. So I think part of not mixing up meditation and sleep is people saying, don't meditate in bed. So again, I mentioned this earlier. One of my main teachers, he says, if you want to meditate because you have insomnia, don't meditate in bed. As soon as you notice you have insomnia, get up, turn on a soft light, and sit on your sitting cushion or your meditation chair, and meditate with no goal, and just try and do a relaxation technique. And when you start to get drowsy, then you get back into bed. And it's the same way that I'll talk about this next week. There's this classic recommendation: associate your bed with sleeping and maybe human connection, and that's it. Don't work in bed, don't read in bed, don't watch TV from bed. Those are more likely to create insomnia. And similar suggestion is don't sit there and have insomnia in bed, because that will anchor that reality with your experience of climbing into bed. Similarly, meditation is generally about staying awake. Again, I said, so many of my teachers that I've worked with say, if you're going to meditate, stay awake. Do your best to do that. Don't mix up the two. So don't meditate in the place where you sleep. So that's one way of looking at it. There's another way of looking at it, and I will talk about that after we do our second technique. So our second technique today is progressive relaxation. Just like the elongated breathing is similar to a common meditation technique, which is mindfulness of breathing, progressive relaxation is very similar to the second most common mindfulness technique, which is body scan or body sweep. In a body scan or a body sweep, we sweep our awareness through our body methodically and patiently from the top of the head down to the toes. Progressive relaxation is similar but different. People often confuse the two. But with progressive relaxation or progressive muscle relaxation, you don't just listen to each part of the body and let it be the way it is. You're trying actually to make it relax. As you get to that part of the body, you don't just be mindful and say, oh, it's tense. Okay, it's tense. Just letting it be tense. That's the kind of meditation you do first thing in the morning. Last thing at night, if you're trying to fall asleep, when you get to a tense part of the body, you intentionally sort of maybe take a deep breath and relax that part of the body. So we'll do a little bit of progressive relaxation now. So sitting up as tall as you can, lifting up with the crown of your head. If you were to want to do this technique to fall asleep late at night, you might want to do it lying down, but today we'll do it upright. So again, finding a place of balance, neither leaning forward nor back. And I invite you to bring your attention to your scalp. Just notice what you notice there. If there's any sort of tension there, see if you can create a sense of relaxation and release. And bring your attention to your forehead, letting go in your forehead. If things are really tight, perhaps you can squunch up the muscles and then deeply let go after you do. That might help a little. Then bring your attention to your cheeks, letting go and releasing there. Simply letting your jaw let go and relax. Letting your jaw just melt and release. If you notice thoughts happening, emotions, tension elsewhere in the body, just letting that be. Don't have to do anything about it. Don't have to fight with it. And then softening your eyes, just letting your eyes relax into your eye sockets. Imagining that you're just switching off your eyes for sleep time. And bring your attention to your entire face and just letting it relax and power down. Completely let go. And then bring your attention to your neck. If your ears are stacked on top of your shoulders and your shoulders are stacked on top of your hips, then your head should be balanced on your neck and you should be able to release your neck, relax your neck, let go. And then feeling your shoulders, your trapezius muscles, the diagonal muscles between your shoulder sockets and your neck. Feeling your shoulders and trapezius just get heavy and release. Heavy like they're made out of lead. Just being pulled down by gravity. Completely letting go. Couldn't even lift them up if you tried. Again, if your attention is drawn to thinking, seeing if you can calmly and gently bring your attention back to the simple relaxation and tranquility of your body. Feeling your upper arms let go. And feeling your lower arms go slack, go limp. And then letting your hands completely release, going slack, going into neutral, as if you're turning your hands off for the night. And then bring your attention to an easy, calm heartbeat, a heartbeat you have in the middle of the night. You're deeply, deeply asleep. Letting your lungs just breathe themselves. naturally, easily. And feeling the muscles of your back let go, feeling them get heavy like they were made out of lead. Just being pulled down by gravity, so heavy. Just sinking down. More and more relaxed. Great job, everyone. Your eyes are closed, slowly opening them. So again, that's progressive relaxation. It's similar to a body scan, which is where you bring your attention through your body, very meditation technique, except with progressive relaxation, you're trying to relax each part of the body. So that's another great technique to do last thing at night if you're actually trying to fall asleep. So I got a few more things to cover, and then we will wrap up. I will say there is part two of this class where I will teach two more techniques and also talk about general healthy sleep tips. And that's scheduled for next Friday. I will teach this part one again in January and part two again in January as well. So if you want to recap, you're welcome to come to that. So if you do want to meditate to fall asleep, I think it's perfectly fine to do so lying down. In general, some people meditate lying down. I think it's generally encouraged not to because it is so easy to fall asleep. But, you know, if you have insomnia and what you want to do is fall asleep, again, you might want to lie down. I think some people do that in bed. And I think, you know, under the covers in the bed that you usually sleep in, I just made the case for why not to do that, which some of my teachers say. But there are people for whom meditation while lying in bed, either because you have insomnia or just, you know, even when you don't have insomnia, just something to do last thing at night as you're drifting off is recommended. So my main teacher, he recommends this actually. His prescription for insomnia is, he says the suffering of insomnia has two main parts. One is that you feel like you're wasting time. You know, this is time that you need for your day tomorrow. And another is that you're not going to be rested. Tomorrow you're going to be exhausted and you're going to be a wreck. And then, you know, and a general concern that many people have is I wish I had more time to meditate. You know, it's hypothetically something I should be doing, but, you know, my days are so busy, I don't have time. So he said, when you have insomnia, lying in bed on your back is a great cure for all three of those things. You're making good use of your time. You're actually deeply relaxing your body and your mind so that they're more rested than they would be if you're sitting there worrying or being on your phone or watching TV. And you're actually getting some time in meditating. So, you know, win, win, win. That's the way he looks at it. He says, I need a good night's rest, and I can get that not just through sleep, but through relaxing my body and meditating. So he recommends lying down, keeping the body still and loose, focusing on physical relaxation, the darkness of closed eyes and silence, and then deeply feeling the pleasant waves of sensation that come from relaxation. And, you know, from his point of view, even if you don't actually fall asleep, you will be getting a good night rest, deeply relaxing in that way. So I think that's legitimate. You know, again, many of my teachers say get out of bed to meditate. Some of my teachers say lie in bed to meditate. I've experimented both ways. I think there's values to both ways of looking at it, which is why I'm presenting it in both ways. I think if you do lie down to meditate, I recommend you don't have a pillow under your neck. Try and extend your neck. You want your legs hip width apart. You don't want, you know, ankles stacked on top of each other or legs too wide. And again, most importantly, you want your spine extended. You know, and then last minute, as you find yourself drifting off, you can put a pillow under your head. I think, you know, one technique, and again, we'll wrap up here in a minute, is called paradoxical intention, which is to tell yourself, I want to stay awake. And, you know, that actually sometimes works for some people. Trying to sleep can increase anxiety and tension. The chances of succeeding drop. It's kind of like, again, that snow globe, trying to push each leg down. But people who say to themselves, I'm actually going to try and stay awake. I'm actually going to try and be as alert as I can, often do fall asleep. Yeah, research has found that that works. So that's another little trick that people can do. I think in general, when it comes to meditation insomnia, I recommend that you experiment for yourself and see what results work for you and get you the results that you want. I think that's true with general sleep habits in general, you know, good sleep habits in general, with meditation practice in general, and with a spiritual path in general. Go to experiment and see what gets you positive outcomes. I think in there's a general meditation instruction I often say, which is that the good meditation is the one that you did, and to not put too much stock into how you feel during a meditation or be concerned whether meditation is working or not in the short term. So I think if you want meditation to help you, it may or may not do so in the short term, but I think if you experiment with doing mindfulness first thing in the morning and you experiment with some of these relaxation techniques that I'm leading here in this class at night, I think it will help to get better sleep. Okay, so as always, I appreciate people showing up for when I lead sessions. So I appreciate your time today, and hopefully some of these things will help. Hope you can make part two next week, and wishing you a great rest of your day.